Okay, I'd like to start off with the basics in Leviticus 23, verses 1 and 2. These are some of my favorite passages in the entire Bible, I guess, because it involves God's holy days here. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, these are my feasts." So these are not my personal feasts, they're not yours, they're not the Jews or anybody else's, they are God's feasts. Now let's drop down to 26 to 32, where it talks about the Day of Atonement, so verse 26 now. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also the tenth day of the seventh month shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you." That's what we're doing right now, holy convocation. "You shall afflict your souls." We're all fasting here. "And offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. You shall do no work on the same day, for it is the day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted in soul," in other words, not fasting here, "on that same day he shall be cut off from his people." So God can cut someone off if they're not keeping the feast of the Day of Atonement here. Verse 30, "And any person who does any work on that same day, that person I will destroy," that's pretty strong, "from among his people there. Verse 31, "You shall do no manner of work, it shall be a statute forever." Entering, statute means law, so it's a form of a law here, "a statute forever." And it's specifically mentioned about the holy days being statutes. "Set you forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings." Verse 32. "It shall be to you a Sabbath, a solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls." And notice he's specific here. "On the ninth day of the month at evening, from evening to evening." So he's telling you exactly when to do it. From the ninth day to the tenth day there, from evening to evening, "you shall celebrate your Sabbath." So the Day of Atonement pictures several things here. So first it pictures a holy convocation here, saying we're not to work. It also mentioned about giving an offering. Now we don't do something by fire anymore, you know, animal sacrifice, but we can give a monetary offering on the day, or we also are supposed to offer ourselves as a sacrifice too. So we are a sacrifice, you know, to do what God wants and to be an example, a good example, and that kind of thing. The Day of Atonement is a day of fasting, so it's when we afflict our souls by fasting. It is a sign of humility, and Howard mentioned that in the opening prayer there. It is a sign of humility. You know, we think about it. If we don't eat, we don't live, do we? We die. So, you know, it's a very, very important there. We need water and food to continue our lives and so on. Now, spiritually, without God and Jesus, we'll die spiritually. Now, the New Testament, Luke records the Apostle Paul saying in Acts 27:9, just one verse. You don't have to turn there, but just if you want to jot it down, you can. One verse. "Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them." So, if you look in the Bible there, you'll see there might be a little notation. You look over in your center of reference there, and it'll say Day of Atonement there. But anyway, that's what we're referring to here, is this Day of Atonement. It's called a fast because it was a day of fasting, going without food and water. The Apostle Luke wrote in the book of Acts, and it's around 61 A.D., almost 30 years after, after Christ was crucified and so on, about 30 years. And anyway, he called the Day of Atonement the fast. And it's obvious from this verse that the Apostle Paul was still keeping this day. So, you know, why would he mention it at all if he wasn't keeping it? You know, it was important to him. So, and of course, it's like a code word in a way. I know some time back we were talking about Bible icons. Well, here's another little icon in a sense, fast. And then the word tied in with the Day of Atonement there. Now, the Day of Atonement portrays the binding and removal of Satan the devil for 1,000 years, so that mankind at last may be made one with God. Now, this is three verses if you want to turn over there, Revelation 21 to 3. And this again is in the New Testament, another meaning for what the Day of Atonement represents here. So, Revelation 21 to 3. Again, I'm just sort of covering the basics here and that kind of thing. So anyway, Revelation 20. "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon," that's Satan the devil, "that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal over him so that he should not deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after that, these things, he must be released for a little while." So during the 1,000-year millennium, when Jesus Christ is here on the earth ruling, then Satan will be disposed of. He'll be put in this prison, in this bottomless pit. Okay, now the Day of Atonement also pictures Jesus Christ as our high priest. So here's a couple one-verse scriptures you might want to jot down. Hebrews 3:1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. So Paul, whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, probably Paul, maybe not, who knows. But anyway, he made a reference here that Jesus Christ is our apostle and high priest. And also in chapter 4, verse 15, he says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So what should a New Testament Christian do on the Day of Atonement? Something to ponder, isn't it? The answer is nothing. Can you believe that? Nothing. Jesus Christ says it all. Well, you might say, well, we have to fast, but what are you doing when you're fasting? You're not eating, so you're not really doing anything, are you? So Jesus Christ does it all for us here. Jesus Christ, now here's some things that Jesus does for us here. Jesus is our Savior, Lord, Shepherd, Redeemer, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Mediator, Apostle, High Priest, Judge, Brother, and Friend. So Jesus does it all. Okay, now keeping in the theme here of what we read in Leviticus 16 and so on, we're going to watch a little video now of the tabernacle. And hopefully everything will work again here now. Had it working already.
Good so far.
This is an animation, but it's interesting seeing the different components of the tabernacle and so on.
Tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution for me. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall raise my contribution. And let them construct a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell among them. According to all that I am going to show you, as the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the furniture, just so you shall construct it. An amazing self-sustaining